One word in Parashat Behar, the famous Kli Yakar. Al tikach mi'ito neshek v'tarbit. So the Torah says, well, we have to lend money to people if they ask us. Ani. But the Torah says it has to be a free loan. Torah warns us, v'yareta melohecha. את כספך לא תיתן לו בנשק ומברבית לא תיתן אוכלך. אני השם אלוקיכם אשר הוצאתי אתכם את הסיים. Torah doesn't tell us why you can't charge interest. Torah says you just can't do it. It's a hawk. Chaura, it's easy money. If I was keeping my money in the bank, I'd make, today you don't make anything, but if I would have it in the market, let's say. So my money would be invested in the market. I make 10% a year. Now a guy comes along and says, I need to borrow $10,000. He asks me to take it out of the market, so I'm losing my 10%. So I would have said, at least pay me what I'm losing. Pay me the 10% that I could have been making. I'm not asking you for more than that. I'm not a loan shark. I'm asking you for 53%. So I says, no. You have to give the loan for free. And this is a big avon ribit. Ad kedekat, the Gemara says, anybody that charges interest from a Jew to a Jew, he doesn't get up to Techayat HaMetim. He doesn't get up to Techayat HaMetim is a serious consequence. Somebody once asked, what's the Midah Keneged Midah? Guy charges interest. What do I got to do with Techayat HaMetim? What's one thing I do with the other? So we explain, because when a person gets his credit card at the end of the month, so they tell you the minimum amount to pay. Today, American Express, they tell you if you pay the minimum amount and how many years you'll be able to pay it off. So you get a $10,000 American Express bill, they tell you now in the box, they tell you, if you pay the minimum amount, $42 a month, it'll take you 27 years to pay this, if you don't spend anything more. What happens with people who get charged interest? They're always making principal payments, but since they can never break it down, so it keeps on accruing and it keeps on accruing. So they pay it, the next month it's the same amount. So we once explained that if you ask a guy who pays interest, he says, I can't get out of the hole, because the interest keeps on piling up. You know, in the beginning, at the time that he needs the money, it doesn't seem like such a big thing. But every month as the interest starts to add, it's another clog of dirt on his head. And all of a sudden he's buried underneath it. He doesn't know where to go out. So God says, Midah Keneged Midah. You buried your friend and you didn't let him get out of the hole, you won't get out of the hole either. You won't get up until I got to meet him. Midah Keneged Midah. The one that buries his friend in interest payments remains buried forever. Amen. I told you the story that happened with Rav Akiva Eiger. There was a famous loan shark in his town. And when he died, he came to the Chavra Kaddisha. And the Chavra Kaddisha said, we have a spot for your father. How much is the spot? $500,000. The guy said, that's what the spots cost? They said, for your father, that's what it costs. What do you normally charge? We charge normally $8,000. So what do you charge me? $500,000. That's what we want to charge. And what does it mean over here? You're taking advantage? The people are right when they say the rabbis take advantage. What is it over here? Because we have some money, so if you charge us $500,000, he said, take us to bed, Dean. So they went to the Beit Din of Rav Akiva Eiger. Rav Akiva Eiger heard the case. And he said to the Hamra Kadisha, they're right. The guy, how can it be right? They said, your father was a loan shark. He charged interest. You see, the Hamra Kadisha, why do they charge only $8,000 for a grave? Because they know it's only temporary. Eventually Mashiach will come. The guy will rise up at the Atamitim. They'll get their land back. Maybe one day they want to build a condominium over there. Maybe one day they want to build high rises or something. So they're willing to charge you $8,000 for renting it. However, your father charged interest. He's not getting up at the Atamitim. So he's going to live there forever. So they're not going to get the land back. Now you ruin the property. If they want to build a high rise, they can't, because they can't move this guy in the middle. So the whole property got devalued. So they have to make their money up front. So therefore the Hamra Kadisha is right. So you see a serious thing in this inyan of the interest. So there's a famous Kli Akari, he says like this. Here the Pasuk is talking about a poor person. So the Hiya Mukha Hicha, your brother becomes mach, he becomes poor. Umata yador in mach, and then becomes weak. But don't charge him interest. So it sounds from the Torah that interest is only to the poor people. The chazif, he has a hard time paying the principal. They're going to charge him interest. But maybe to a rich person, I could charge interest. Not only that, the rich guy sometimes, he borrows. Why does he borrow? To make money. Sometimes the rich man, he has zillions of dollars, but he doesn't have liquid. He doesn't have cash on hand. So he goes to somebody, do me a favor, lend me the cash. What are you doing with this cash? Oh, you see this $100,000 you gave me? By next week it's going to be $1 million. So I come along and say, hey, give me a piece of the action. It's a beast. I want the 10%. No, not allowed. So it's not only to poor people, even to a rich guy who's making, and then he tells you, when he comes back a week later, here's the $100,000, so that I made $1 million with this. And you have to smile and say, push him in a board, and nothing, no. So the Kli Akari says, Ma'asin e'mat atika mi'ito, mi'ito sounds like to the ani. Ama ma'asin mutalika. It sounds like from the rich guy you can take. Ve'chem b'parasat mishpatim ne'mat. In kesef talveit ammi, it says later on, in kesef talveit ammi, if you're going to lend money to my nation, which nation? Ani emach, to the poor people, lo yisimun alav neshech. Sounds like again, alav, to him. So now we'll make a new law that the beat doesn't apply to Ashiri. לכן כתבה התורה במשנה תורה. If you look in Devarim, the Torah writes the laws of Rabbi three times. One in Parashat Mishpatim, one in Parashat Behar, and one in Ki Tetzeh. Three times in the Torah. And the third time the Pasuk says, לנוכרי תשיך. To the goy, it's a mitzvah to charge interest. ולאחיך לא תשיך. In Devarim it says, אחיך, your brother. It doesn't make a difference between rich or poor. So why did it write poor over here? Because normally, who asks for a loan? A poor man. So the Torah wrote it in the normal scenario. But even if it's a rich man, it's asur. Kol shu achicha, whoever's your brother, lo tashik ma'afal pi shaloveh marviyach bazeh. Even though the loveh is making money on your money. An amazing thing. You took your money out of a market that you were making 10%, and you gave it to the rich man, he made 60%, and you're only allowed to take back what you gave him. That's the law. Vizir batar ta'ama, go after the reason. What's the reason? What's the reason? Ki ikar ta'am yisur haribit. What's the reason? Why would you say? What would you say? Why should it be a suit to charge interest? What would be the reason? He says an amazing reason. Lefi shu masir midat ha-bitachon min ha-adam. Because loan sharks, that business, it weakens a person's bitachon in Hashem. Why does it weaken his bitachon in Hashem? Ki chol ba'al masa umatam enav nisuot el Hashem. Levishu mesupat im yerviach o lo. Everybody in business, they don't sleep at night. Why? Because they're thinking about the factory in Hong Kong. Did they make their goods properly? Is the goods going to be accepted by the buyer? Sometimes they send it back because there's a defect. And are they going to take all the goods? Sometimes the goods are late. They cut half the order in half. Or maybe they start discounting it. Even after they take it, sometimes they return it after they wouldn't sell it. So all day long, you see the guy who's in business, his Amidah is very long. Why is Amidah long? Because at each stage of the process, he knows that with one phone call, he can lose the whole shipment, the whole order. So he has Bitahon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because in business, there's always variables, there's always things that can happen, and therefore, he puts his Bitahon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should work out. But there's one person that sleeps good at night, that has no worries, that has no da'agot. Who's that? The loan shark. Why? Because his money's guaranteed. Why is it guaranteed?
Collateral.
Because he has the collateral. So therefore, I'm good either way. You want to pay me the interest every single day? He sits home, does nothing. The guy comes with an envelope, here's my money. 1 week the guy doesn't pay. That is, he takes the guy's grand piano, brings it into his house, he goes to sell it. So therefore, there's nothing can happen here. So therefore, you're wondering why the loan shark's Amidah is 5 seconds. You go, what am I praying for? That's a win-win. Tell me what's going. He's not going to pay? He's not going to pay. Good. I hope he doesn't pay. Because the collateral is more dear to me. I like the collateral better. Ah, he will pay? Good. Let him pay also. I'm also happy. The man said, what is he going to do to me now? Nothing can go wrong in there. He's not selling a product. He has the guy on a string. So therefore, this business, he says, takes away a person's bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he's so sure of the formula. Shehu mesupak, abal anoten b'nidit, revach shelo yadua v'katsuv. He knows already his profit. He can tell you already on this loan how much he's going to make. V'somech al erbono. And he relies on the collateral. U'men Hashem yasi libo. He removes his trust from God. U'ma shegam alove over belav. לפי שהוא מחתי את המלווה ומצילו ממידת הביטחון. Wow. Now we know why it's a sur, not only for the malve, but let's say the malve, the borrower says, I want to pay interest. I understand that the lender is a sur, he gets that. But the borrower also gets the isur. Why? If he's willing to pay the interest, why should be a sur? I come to Zazen, lend me $10,000. Hakam, I'm going to lend it to you, but you know I'm not allowed to charge interest. I said, charge me interest. Charge me interest, I'll pay it with some haraba. Still a suit. Why? Says the Kli Yakar, because by me accepting interest, I take away your bitachon. You understand? By me allowing you to charge me interest, they go, you don't have to come to school for the next week now. You say, I'm good, my partner is covered already. Now, Akal's going to give me this amount of interest every week. He gave me his watch as a collateral. I said, go sleep now. I'm coming for the next month. I can pay my bills, no problem. Who caused him to have that lack of bitachon? The lover. Therefore, the lover is all there. You understand that I do so now? So you're right. kirubam min malzeh ribit, the majority of money lenders, rubam mikitane amana. Many of them have little faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then you're going to tell me, Rabbi, so how could you charge the goyim then? How could you charge goyim interest? If you're telling me that it's a bad business because it takes away your bitachon in God and it's guaranteed money and collaterals and so on, so why should it be allowed to pay to the goyim? Not only is it mutal, but it's mitzvah. If he said, "Call Akum has katoshu alam begazlan," you have to look at every goy he says as a gazlan. Goy is behazkat gazlan. Behazkat asif. Afil umu imu kamushta'at yadecha mikol makom darko nabo ba'atifin. You have to mind the goy doesn't go straight with you. The goy is gonna fool around. Even if he gives you collateral, le'olam eno batuach lo bekeren velo berevach. Because the goy will kill you. The goy, who knows, will come into your house and steal the collateral. The goy. So when you lend to a goy, with all the safeguards, you still don't sleep at night as good as you. Because you say, this guy's a wise guy, they're going to get out of it somehow, they're going to take it, they're going to steal it, they're going to do it. ועל כן תמיד אינם נשואות אל השם נצילו מידו. This explains to us, that's a very important point. This explains to us why is Parashat Ribit in Parashat Behar. What are you doing here? What's the main theme of Parashat Behar? Shemitah. Ma'anyan Shemitah is the beat. Ma'anyan the beat is the Shemitah. What's the reason why there's a sabbatical, Rabotai? Why does God say 6 years work the ground and the seventh year rests? Why? It's also an inyan to teach a person midata bitachon. That a person would think 6 years, it's all his work, it's all his toiling. God says, now for 1 year put your faith in me, don't do anything. And put your trust in me that somehow you're going to make the parnasah. So since the whole theme of Parashat Behar is Bitachon, therefore right after it tells me the law of Shemitah, it comes and tells me the laws of the beast. Although it's different laws, but it's a similar theme. The root of the law is the same. To bring a person to Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only question is, what are these two forms of ribit that the Torah says? Neshech v'tarbit. What is neshech? Neshech sounds like a bite. Neshoch. Neshicha. The neshech is to bite. What's tarbit? Tarbit comes from the word larbot, excess. One of these two words, when it comes to the beat, mazit neshech, mazit tarbit. Mitzkin lashon neshech v'tarbit, ki esel alloveh nikra neshech. When you look at it from the borrower's standpoint, it's called neshech. Why? He has a beat domain the nahash ale derech, because the beat is like a snake. Hanoshech be'ekbo, it bites him in his heel. Hanotin sinita ketana. How does the snake bite? The snake bites a small little. Sometimes you can't even see it. And what does he put into that little hole that he made into the bottom of the foot?
Venom.
It's venom, it's poison. And what ends up happening? That venom all of a sudden starts to spread and spread and spread and spread and spread. And before you know it, it takes over his whole body. That's exactly what the beat is. To the lender, it's nitech. It's like you got bitten by a snake. In the beginning, you say, well, it's nothing, okay, well, a little. But all of a sudden, after 1 month, 2 months, all of a sudden, the guy doesn't know how to get out of it over here. And also the guy saying, I'm paying for 30 years, and suddenly you didn't touch the principal yet. 30 years, I paid $100,000, didn't touch the bridge. Yeah, and it's still going, it's still going to go. So this started off as something very small in his eyes. It's like a nesek, a little snake bite. But eventually, so from the lovez aspect, it's nesek. Why? Because he's amassing. His fortune is growing. So from his standpoint, tarbit, it's ribui, that's why I call it a beat. Ribit comes from the Lashon Harbeh, because his assets are growing. But be'emet, says the Kli Yakar b'chadushya, shel besof nechatsav mitmoteti. The guy who charges interest to Jews, it's bad money. The money will not have an endurance. There's no beracha in that money. And therefore, although it looks like marbit, 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 but eventually that money has an expiration on it, it's bad money. Bad money never has a kiyum. You have to know that. ונראה שמטעם זה לא הזכיר בכל הפרשיות לשון ומטה ידו. כי אם בזו הפרשה קיבל להזיר את המלווה שלא ימות כדרך שמטה ידו של זה פן תשווה לו גם מטה בתמוטטות. כי דווקא מי שכספו לא נתן בנסך לא ימות. Which means over here, it's interesting. If you look at the way it says over that you're lending somebody, it doesn't say you're lending a poor person. The pasuk says, "Ki yamuch achicha umata yado." What is umata yado? We're talking about somebody that was rich. Umata yado means he went down. What do you have to give me the whole story? He was rich. He went down. Tell me, you're lending a guy with his money. You have to give me his history. Oh, I need to know his credit rating here. What do I care what he was? But I said, Hussein, right now he's a poor man. Why does the Torah in this case mention somebody that was rich and lost his money and if he's coming for a loan? Because the Torah is telling the malveh, hey, that's going to happen to you. If you charge this guy interest, he goes up to his wife and says, you're not going to believe it today, Mr. So-and-so asked me for a loan. Mr. So-and-so asked for a loan. The guy was a billionaire. That's the way of the world. The guy went down, and you believe it or not? He asked me for a loan. So did you give him the loan? Of course I gave him the loan. I charged him interest. Oh. The Torah puts you right in front of that situation to come and tell you what happened to him is going to happen to you. Kimata yado will happen to you as well. And we have a Tehillim book.
Yeah.
I once said a hadush on a pasuk in Tehillim, a perek in Tehillim. Mizmor le David, chapter 15. Mizmor le David, Adonai mi yagur ba'aholecha, umi yishkon ba'har kodshecha. This is an amazing pasuk. Mi yagur ba'olecha. Who is going to dwell in your tent, God? Umi yishkon behar kodshecha. Who is going to dwell on the Mount Holy? I know the answer. Somebody that goes to the mikveh 3 times a day. Somebody that reads tikkun haklali every day. He goes to all the kibrei tzaddikim. Har kodshecha. All the more so. how would you define who is going to reach the mountain of holiness? And he says here, Olech Tamim uPo'el Tzedek. You know what Po'el Tzedek means? He's a Po'el, he's a worker. Po'el Tzedek is an honest worker. Dovel Emet Ben Zavo. It's honest. Honest. What does the guy do with Kiddushah? Doesn't lie. Lo Ragal Lishono, he doesn't speak gossip. Lo Asal Re'ehu Ra'ah. He doesn't do bad to his friends. V'chirpa lo nasa' al kirobo. He doesn't embarrass his family members. Kaspo lo natan b'neshech. There's a guy who doesn't charge interest. That's the guy that goes to the... V'shochad al naki lo nakah. He doesn't take bribes. He's not bribable. Where's the mikveh? Where's the tikkun? This is how you reach Kiddushah, Rabotai. And then how does the pasuk end? Ose ele lo yimot le'olam. You do this? Lo yimot le'olam, you live forever. You'll get a fatihat ha-metim. So I asked the question on this. What do you mean, ose ele? Right, it's to say, lo oseh ele. Oseh, it just tells me. Doesn't charge interest. Oseh ele sounds like, if he does these things, meaning if he charges interest, if he doesn't be honest, if he takes briberies, what do you mean oseh ele? To say, lo oseh ele. These are all things that are inactive. He's not doing something. Rabotai, all these cases of it, he's not doing, he's not charging interest, he's not lying, he's not cheating. So how can you tell me on something that he's not doing? Ose ele. Ose, ose, ose.
You don't understand the question.
You understand the question or not?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a hadush on this pedic of tilim. Simple pshat. Rabotai, when I read this Mishnah, to me, I get very excited. I'm going to tell you why I get excited. Because I never charged somebody interest before. And the pasuk says, "Kaspo lo natan b'neshech." I'm the guy. "Kaspo lo natan b'neshech." You know why I never charged somebody interest?
You never
want
nobody money.
Exactly. Because nobody ever asked me for money. You understand? So for me to come along and say, oh, I'm a tzaddik, I never charge anybody interest. Of course I never charge anybody. On the contrary, you're on the other side of the picture here. You're the guy that's going for long. Hadush. Or somebody will come along and say, Rabbi, you'll be very proud of me. Never did I accept a bribe. You're not a judge. You're not a judge. You never accept a bribe. What's exactly? Nobody ever owed, because you're not in a position of power that makes decisions anyway. Exactly. You weren't tested. So you know what the pasuk is saying at the end? Ose'en, which means only people that are involved in this. Oseele means you're a money lender. And you still didn't charge into interest? Lo yimot le'olam. You're in the business. You're oseele. You're a judge. You're a judge and you didn't take charge. Now it's a value. Only if you're oseele, if you're involved in this item, and you still overcame yourself, that's already lo yimot le'olam. But a regular guy, pesita, my guy, shu'alan. Understand the dirash of this? The oseele. Chabaruch once had to go to the funeral. What is he going to say about the guy? The guy was the rasha. He said, Rabotai, he never spoke during the Kaddish. He never went to shul. What is he going to say about the guy? The guy, he never thought of the Bris Torah in the bathroom. He never thought of the Bris Torah outside the bathroom either. But in the Bris Torah, he never thought of the Bris Torah.
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
It may fit, it may not fit. How does the shock fit into these?
The Heter Iska, you mean?
Yeah.
What Heter Iska does, Heter Iska basically turns the loan into a business transaction, where now the lender has a chance to lose. Based on the Heter Iska now, it's not guaranteed that he'll get his money back. Exactly. If all the variables of the Heter Iska come true, he could lose his principal. Oh, so therefore, now it's already a business deal. Isn't that what business is?
Yeah.
Business is taking a risk. So then you turn this into a risk, and therefore it's not a guaranteed interest anymore. That's what it is. Although the risk of the Heter Iska is very far out than it'll ever...
Remote.
It's remote that it'll ever happen because he has to be willing to make a shivuah. Who's going to make a shivuah in Sefer Torah? They put some stuff in there that it's very hard for it to ever come to, but it has to be legitimate. Continue. Mitam zeh. Nomar, et kaspecha lo titen lo beneshek umarbit lo titen ochlecha. Lo eskid lashon lo etzel amarbit, kemo sheskid etzel aneshek, lefi sheaneshek lebad lo lelove. Like we said, the neshek is really on the love side. He's the one that gets bit. Fine. There's another reason why we're allowed to charge goyim interest. Not allowed, it's mitzvah to charge goyim interest. My wife has a warehouse where she puts the bed sometimes, always. So the guy who does the warehouse is a goy. So sometimes he asks her to borrow money. He has to pay an insurance bill or something, but I have to borrow the money. So I tell my wife, make sure you charge him interest. Not a bank over here. No, I'll give it to him. No, you're not allowed to give it to him for nothing. I get a mitzvah out of it. What should I do? I want to be no arm. I said, be no arm. Here's the $5,000. I want next month $5,200. Finished. The no mitzvah to say, well, yeah, be nice. Kiddush Hashem. What Kiddush Hashem? What Kiddush Hashem? But why is that so? I'll tell you why that's so. Why goyim into mitzvah to charge interest? The Torah is very logical. The logical Torah we have. I have this Torah now. Everybody in this room is bound by this Torah now. So if I come to you, I say, I need a loan. You say, I can't charge him interest. So therefore, it's like we have a brotherhood here. You cannot charge me, I won't charge you. We have a pact. Which means I know one day you'll come to me for money. Listen, you didn't charge me, I'm not going to charge you because we're both bound to the same book. So it makes sense. Once you're part of the brotherhood, everybody follows the same rules. So it goes around, comes around. Okay, now go to the Chase Manhattan Bank. Tell them I want a 30-year mortgage interest free. What will they do to you?
How long? What do you want?
So if you're lucky, they'll call Bellevue. Yeah. Interest free? We're a bank, we're interest free. No, you tell them the beat. What's the beat? Yeah, the beat, not the beat. We charge the beat. That's what we do over here. So therefore, the Torah says, if you would go to the goy, he's going to charge you the fee? Of course. Do we have a right to charge him over? Very simple. No, I should be a sucker. I should be a sucker. Go to Chase Manhattan, pay them all the interest, and then when they come to me, oh, no, not the beat. They're not going to Jews over here. They're suckers. We charge them all the beat over there. So therefore, what you do to me, I will do to you. But what the goyim doesn't do to me, Now I'm not obligated to do to them. Simple, without going to the Kabbalah of a wife and is about to charge gleam interest. Simple, you know, goes around, comes around.
How about a bank that's Yehudi owns it?
They have to make their tereska. Now, of course, it comes into play.
He has to make the owner or use
the... owner. The owner has to make a tereska on every loan, and the loveh has to sign a tereska when he borrows. Owns both ways. Both ways. The bank has to have their iska to lend the money. And the borrower has to have their iska to borrow the money. They have to both be on their iska. What happened in Eretz Yisrael? Some of the banks, they don't want to do their iska. They don't want to do their iska. Now, every loan, they have to have their iska and paper and give them a dollar and sign. And, and by the way, when they heard about their iska, they thought, we could lose the loan? They're not interested in losing loans, or they're a bank. They didn't want to sign up. That's not what the Hakamim do. The Hakamim got up in Eretz Yisrael, they announced, Rabota, you cannot use Po'alim and this bank and that bank. All the religious people, they all got their money. All the other banks now started to promote, we have a tereska. So all of a sudden the other banks, their assets went up very much. Now all of a sudden it became a selling point. Which bank has the heter eska for they all end up getting the heter eska. But here in America, if you use the regular one, just bring up the
right. Rabbi, the heter eska, if the loan is guaranteed by collateral, is that heter eska still good?
Imagine the loan is there. That's part of the heter eska.
It is.
That's part of it. That's part of it. Nothing's guaranteed in the heter eska.
We now have
flowers. Okay, now we go to Parashat. That's the Parashat Behar. We said something. Well, we have a double header this week. And now Parashat.
That was the time after myself. Was it speak only about Shadid? You Shadid 6 years, and Shadid 7 years. At that time, there was judges, there was tailors, there was...
But the main industry was agriculture. The main industry was agriculture.
Man.
There were no factories in those days. The main thing is everybody had a field. Yeah, and, that was the main industry, agrarian society. But he knows the famous Orachim HaKadosh. Orachim HaKadosh on this gives us 42 interpretations. Did you believe it? On one line, in the Hukotai Telechu, 42 different interpretations to explain in the Hukotai Telechu. And it's our custom every year, we read one or two of them in order to see a new interpretation. So he says like this. עוד ירצה על דרך אומנם אצל משנן פרקי אבות הווה גולל למקום תורה. It says one has to be willing to go into exile in order to study Torah. לחטט רגליו במקום למקום ללמוד תורה. If you look in the olden days, all the Hakamim used to go from their house, like Rabbi Akiva, went far away, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went far away into the cave. There's a inyan to leave your dwelling in order to go study Torah. They go there and come Torah. There was one rabbi who used to go 6 months in order to get to the Beit Midrash, learn for one day, and then come back home so he can be home for Sukkot. Vehozer kemochen la'asot b'yom echad. Vehu omron, that's what the pasuk says over here. In Bechukotai, which is the study of Torah, Telechu. Tzedikim shetelchu v'mekomchem. You have to go. Gam kedesh shetiyu pinuyim en nachon l'lmod v'hu bebeto. He tells you the reason why. Because when a person studies at home, there's tirdot. There's inconveniences. There's disturbances. There's disruptions. There's distractions. He's home, do this errand, go there, tonight we're going to so-and-so's house for a party, and we have obligations to go to this guy, and he called, he has no time to study. So therefore they said, go away, far away, where nobody knows where you are, you study. Im bechukotai, if you want to study Torah properly, telechu. V'lachen ya'azov ish et aviv v'etimo, v'yitza v'mekomo l'alechet achareha. You still have great tzaddikim today. I know rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, during the week they go to a different place. They go to a different area, nobody knows where they are, they sit in a little area over there. Friday they come back to the city. Of course with permission from their wives. And they go to come to Torah. It's very important for the young guys also that when they go to yeshiva. It's important that they get used to going away to study Torah. You can't compare it. When a person studies out of town, in a good place, then when he studies locally. But I once said a chiddush on this Mishnah. The big one, Elam Kum Torah. It says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Sakel Be'oraita Ubala Alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at the Torah, and he created the world using the letters of the Torah. Yodeya haya betzalel tzaref otiyot shebehem nivreu shamayim ba'aretz. Betzalel knew how to take the alphabet and make a concoction out of it, and if he wanted, he could create the world. It means the world is created with otiyot Torah. You understand what I'm saying or no? That means if you were to break down a location on the map and you keep on breaking it down to its lowest common denominator, finally you'd break it down to what? You see Aleph, you see letters of the Torah in that spot over there. That's the protoplasm of the creation. B'dvar Adonai Shamayim Na'asu. What's Dvar Hashem? Dvar Hashem is the Torah. That's what it means, istakel be'oraita ubala'ama, which means the whole world basically is all oraita. There's Torah all in the world. And that's why Chachamim say a big secret. Why does a person learn where he learns? Why is it, Rabotai, that this little group over here that we have, for some reason, we are zochet to come to this spot over here? But the Yad Arad, there's a lot of locations in Brooklyn, there's a lot of Bet Midrash, there's a lot of Shi'urim, there's a lot of Torah and all that. That's a cup of coffee. That's a simple reason. That's why Gary comes. But
they don't have coffee over there?
No, he's honest. What's the reason? Because everybody's neshama has a chelik in Torah. When God dispatches the neshama, in the neshama also Borei Olam puts all the Torah that this neshama is capable of acquiring. We pray for it on Shabbat. Ten chelkenu betoratach. We have a chelik in Torah. Why certain rabbis prefer Kabbalah? Certain rabbis are not interested. They're interested in Shulchan Aruch. Other rabbis are interested in Mishnah. Because that's their chelik. Their neshama is drawn to what it was preordained to study. But not only does everybody have a chelik in Torah, but the place that they learn, they're connected to that Torah of the earth. That spot that was created with a certain Torah, then it's about connected to that spot. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the exact location to learn Torah, which that Torah that the world was created with. So it's not a coincidence when you find yourself in a certain Bet Midrash, That means this bit midrash, when God created, he created with certain chelik and tonah, and Borei Olam says this chelik belongs to Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Heva, these 27 guys. That's their chelik. So then you have to keep on coming back to this spot in order to, and then you go somewhere else, and it doesn't excite you. It's a great shiur. The guys over there saying, we love it. I understand you. You're crazy. This is incredible. I don't know what the guy's talking about. I'm not interested in it. Why? Because your chelik is not in that spot. You have to find where your chelik is, and you have to connect to that spot. So we explained the Mishnah like this. Eved golel limkom Torah. What does it mean, Eved golel limkom Torah? Which means you have to exile yourself to the place where your Torah is. The Makom Torah. When you call, the place, it's a book of Torah, they say. The Makom Torah. What does that mean? The Makom itself is made from Torah. Heveg Gole. Try to exile yourself to the spot where you're connected to that Torah. The Makom Torah. The Torah is there already. Even before you get to the Torah is there. You have to exile yourself to that area. Sometimes it means you have to drive far away, sometimes you have to go far away.
So this Torah is a new structure down the block waiting
for you. Oh, well, you have a doubt? You have a doubt? You have a doubt?
The rabbi says that if the synagogue is
free from the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash. There's nothing to talk. But what? You think it's a coincidence? We had to pick up all our chelik of Torah in different places. There was chelik of Torah in Achayezer, we had to take our chelik. We had to go to Har Lebanon to take the chelik on the second floor. We had to come here to the chelik. We're picking up the chelik. So you shouldn't think, oh, what is this? This is Galut. Each place is another exile, but we have to, it's not a coincidence. I don't know, last galut, yeah, last galut, not yes galut. But the point is, once we finish taking out all the Torah over here that we need to take, okay, now we go to the next part over here. So nobody say, oh, it's taking so long, it's taking, nothing wrong, Hashem upstairs laughs that these guys take long, not long, because of the pipe, because of the steel, because of the thing, is it? Borei Olam says, once we're ready to start making the tikkun in the next spot, that's it. It'll happen in 1 minute. It'll happen instantaneously. That's the first interpretation. Another interpretation, he comes along and says, Im rokotai telechu. The Mishnah says in Masechet Pe'ah, there's something that I wanted to say here. This is what I wanted to say. The audience page is number 33. The Tachi Yashub Adam, maybe a person is going to come along and say, Ki ikara mitzvot v'to'aliyutam eno elo mi shiyodeya ekran v'ta'aman. A guy might come along and say, the main thing in the mitzvot is to understand what you're doing. There are a lot of critics that come along to the people. The guy shaking him like, you know what you're doing? You're going this way, that way. You know what you're doing exactly? The guy has no clue why he's making no shanot. So they make fun of him. They say, yeah, Sam, you're a robot. Yeah, Sam, you know what you're doing over there. You know, you know why you're sitting in the, you know why you're putting a tefillin? You know why you're wearing, you know the real reasons why you do it? Some guy came to me once. He said, I don't read the tikkun on the night of Shavuot. He doesn't make the tikkun. I don't believe in the reading the tikkun. they came to me and he says, you fixed everything last night? You stayed up all night? You fixed everything? As if to make jokes of it. What do you know you're reading? You don't know what you're reading. You fixed everything? You made the fixing? He says, what was broken? I said, your mouth was broken. I fixed your dirty mouth. I fixed last night with the tikkun over here. Your mechutzaf. Wise guy. He comes along and makes fun. The tikkun. Not everything we understand what we're doing in the religion. So people think, Sam, you're just acting like a zombie. You're just fulfilling these laws over here. You have no clue what you're doing. Says the Orach Haim HaKadosh. הרי הוא עושה מעשה שאין בו ממש כגוף ולא נשמה זה מזבז הלו ותמצא שכן כתבו בשם הרב הארי כי מעשה ולא כוונת הדבר הוא ככלי ריק if you don't know really the כוונות behind it it's like an empty vessel שהעיקר הוא המחשבה ולזה בא מאמר הכתוב אם בחוקותיי תלכו פירוש אם האדם יעשה המצוות בכוונה זו לצד אשר חקק השם ברוך הוא even if you do it as a חוק אם בחוקותיי תלך why are you doing it? Because God said for me to do it why? חוק I don't know why so what is the פסוק saying אם בחוקותיי תלכו ואת מצוותיי תשמרו ועשיתם אותם God will consider as if So therefore you don't always have to know why you're doing something. I told you the famous story about my friend. I saw him in Italy this week and I confirmed the story with him. We had a guy in Chariot Torah on Tebi. He just came from Halab a couple of weeks before that. He came to Shi'ur in Chariot Torah. So the rabbi's there talking about the Mitzvah Sukkah. So the rabbi tells the class, boys, why do you sit in the Sukkah? Why do you sit in the Sukkah? Everybody's giving reasons. This, Anane Kavod, Sukkot Namaz, everybody's giving reasons. So the rabbi turns to Antebi, tells him, hey, Shlomo, why do you sit in the Sukkah? He doesn't understand the question. Why do you sit in the Sukkah? They tell him in Arabic. What do you sit in the Sukkah for? He looks at the rabbi with blank eyes. He tells him, Shiv and Dalle, Hekedin. He says, you sit in the Sukkah? Heck it is. What am I in the Sukkah? Because Hashem says, this is the Sukkah. What kind of stupid questions is on there? That's the real Halabi answer. What did they give me? This reason, that reason, Pilpul, not Pilpul, yeah, Pilpul. Heck it is. What am I in the Sukkah? The rabbi said, that's the best answer. Which means, this guy will never miss sitting in the Sukkah. Because he says, heck it is. You have to sit. He doesn't have any... Anyhow, so wise guy. You understand? So that's what the Pasuk is saying over here. In bechukotai telechu. Even if you fulfill the mitzvot and you don't know exactly the why and the how and the... You know why? That's because Rav says, Ki ani Adonai rofecha. God says, I am your doctor. Why does God compare himself to a doctor? The explanation is, when you go to a doctor, you understand his prescription? You have no idea what this is. He tells you, take one of these every 3 hours, take one of those, one of this, one of that. You can't even read it. You go to the pharmacy, he dispenses it. Somebody asks you, you know exactly how this medicine works? What do I have to know how it works? I trust the doctor. The doctor, I mean, hit it, take it. What do I know? God says, Ani Hashem Rofecha. All these mitzvot over here are prescriptions. He gives you a prescription. Don't put woolen linen in your jacket. That's the reason. That makes sense. That doesn't make sense. So when the doctor also prescribes it, don't take it until you understand it. Therefore the Torah comes along and says, "Im bechukotai telechu." Even if you didn't study all the kavanot of Rabbeinu Ari, and you don't know all the deep amkut of all... Now, chas v'shalom, that doesn't mean to say there's no deep reason. But even if you didn't get to the reasons yet, somebody's going to come along and say, I'm not taking a Tylenol until I understand how it works. Okay, so the guy's going to die of a headache. By the time he understands it, he doesn't need it anymore because he's in the kibbutz. So therefore, God says also, even before you understand it, they can fulfill the law because I said so. Even as a chok, in the chokotai, even if the whole Torah is just one big chok to you, keep it. And then what God says, I will consider it if it's mitzvotai tishmurat, if you fulfill the mitzvot, ma'atitim otan, you'll get the full credit. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen. Rabbi Yonel, the Torah, the Torah said, לפיך הקרבה מהם פרוסו לחפש ומצוקו לצורה וידי
התקדד שמר הפעם ועמדי ורעת רותי